We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
West Virginia coach Neil Brown detailed his bye week plans for this week. That's coming up right after this.
At United Bank, banking means more than financial solutions. It means rallying around the causes that are important to our customers, employees, and communities. While we have grown in size and presence, we have never forgotten our roots. By giving back to our local communities and funding business development, we help fuel economic growth. Our success is your success. Because to us, this is home. United Bank, West Virginia's bank. Member FDIC.
All right, thanks for being on today. Big win on Saturday. Fun to be out there competing again. Talked in detail on Saturday, kind of after the game, about the numbers. I'll kind of recap the game offensively, defensively, special teams. Try to remember to look at the this messes me up because normally on Zoom, I'm looking at the screen. Now I got to look at the camera. So my wife got on me from post-game. So recap, kind of the game is – defensively, I'll start. I'll kind of hit negatives, positives for you all that were here last year. It's kind of how we did it. Defensively, the negatives were the three explosive pass plays, and then we had two missed takeaway opportunities. One of them glanced off our hands, and one of them we had a missed assignment where we should have been right there waiting on the ball. And we've got to do a better job getting all 11 guys to the football. I thought we pursued okay, but in our league with the explosiveness that we're going to play, we've got to do a better job getting hats to the ball. The positives, very few missed assignments, and we played a lot of people. Eastern was 1 of 11 on third down, which was impressive. 2.3 yards per rush, and then 4 sacks and 9 TFLs, you know, within 49 snaps. So 13 of the 49 plays were negative plays, so that was job well done there defensively. Offensively, the negative is perimeter blocking. We've got to make some strides there. I thought the details in our routes were just okay. We've got to be better than that. And then I was really disappointed in the second half. We missed on a fourth and short, and we weren't able to convert in the red zone, and which have been point of emphasis for us, especially in the red zone. We were not able to do that, missed the chip shot. The positive, 0 turnovers and 86 countable snaps. 329 rushing yards, which has been, as you know, something we've really focused on. And we started fast, which is we took the ball coming out, and that was by design, and we started fast. And we wanted to get ahead, and we were able to do that. Special teams, without a doubt, the most disappointing part of Saturday afternoon. Penalties, you know, we don't want to ever be in a situation where West Virginia beats West Virginia. And we were better than Eastern, so it didn't hurt us. But we cannot get into Big 12 play and have that many penalties. We had six flags, six penalties. We had more flags than that, but only six penalties that were accepted on special teams. The kickoff cover team, which has been a strength of ours all through last year, and really did a nice job other than one. And thankfully, it was a penalty that called it back, but they returned one for us on a touchdown, and we just had about four guys that didn't do what they were coached to do on that. And our field goal protection wasn't good enough, and we missed the 25-yard field goal. We got to be better than that. The positives, we downed a punt inside the one, which is something we put a lot of work into, and we won the field position battle. Even with all the negative plays we had on special teams, we still won the field position battle. So that was good. When we win, we give awards, and so I'll kind of go through our weekly awards. Start with special teams player of the week. As a starter, he was starter on punt return and kickoff. Had a huge play on kickoff right after they returned the one for the touchdown. They get called back. And so the special teams player in the week in his first game as a Mountaineer, Alonzo Adai won that award. Next award, offensive lineman of the week. Without a doubt, played his best game in a Mountaineer uniform. Graded out 87%, had the highest production grade of anybody that played on the O-line. And that was Mike Brown, and he'll be back. We took him out in the third quarter there with an injury, but he's fine. He'll practice today at full speed. The defensive player of the week, again, in his first action as a Mountaineer, 8 solo tackles, 2 assists, and that was Tony Fields. And I thought he flew around and played it at a really high speed. The offense player of the week, and this is obvious: 10 rushes, 123 yards. One reception for 15 yards, 3 touchdowns on the day. The most impressive stat to me is something that we've talked a lot about, and he's made a point of emphasis, is 0 negative yardage plays. He had 0 runs with negative yardage, and the offensive player of the week was Letty Brown. We got a new award that we're doing this year. We're calling it the Blue Collar Award. It's kind of meant to be a tip of the hat to the people here of West Virginia. And this goes to a player that does behind the scenes work that doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but it's important to our success. And this player played 31 snaps on offense, was an integral part in our run game, started on our punt return unit and did a nice job ensuring the kick, and then started on our field goal unit in his first extensive action. And so Jackson Knipper wins our first Blue Collar Award. Our scout team players of the week last week on offense, it was Trent Jackson, who did a really nice job kind of leading that group. Scout team defense player of the week was Linnell Carr. And Linnell is a guy that showed up in the stat sheet, got a sack. And you like to see when guys perform well in the scout team and then they get an opportunity. And Linnell took advantage of that opportunity. I think he's got a lot of potential. He'll be a guy that plays a lot of football around here over the course of his career. And then the scout special teams player. And this guy, he's done a great job for us all fall camp. He got an opportunity to run down on kickoff and made a great play, an open field tackle. And that's Quamazius Mosby. And he really made a nice play there on kickoff. But he was our scout team special teams player of the week. And our last award, we give it to the best guy. And this is really important now. We always have this what we call the juice squad on the sidelines during the games. And it's even more important since we don't have fans. And we had a bunch of guys that were up for this award, but the guy that did the best is our backup punter, Evan Mathis. So those are our awards for the week. Kind of wrap up before I take questions. Good start to the season. Glad we got to play a lot of people in our opener. This is a week that's not like a typical bye week. We've got to continue to make improvement. We're not going to spend as much time at the facility, but we're going to have more camp-style practices than bye week-style practices. A lot of good work this week. We've got to continue to improve as we go to our Big 12 opener on September 26th. And I also want to mention before I take questions, this is Extra Yard for Teachers Week. It's an initiative by the College Football Playoff, and we'll be doing things all week to recognize teachers and what they do for our young people and the role they play in society. So with that, I'll open up for questions.
So, Coach, by my count, you've played nearly 24 redshirt freshmen or true freshmen. So just give me a little look at some of the young guys. You had to get almost everybody you want. Was there anybody you didn't get to play?
No, we felt like that everybody that was ready to play got in the game. And I'm sure we missed somebody, but we played a lot of people. You know, I thought the young guys that played, you know, defensively, Akeem Messidor got his first action. Daryl Porter Jr. got in the game and played. I think he was in there on the third series. And then, you know, offensively, there was a lot of guys. You know, Zach Frazier started as a true freshman. I thought he played really well. I thought he set a tone up front for us. Did a nice job with his physicality and just playing through the whistle. Sam Brown was productive. He started the game. Charles Finley played, I think, 16 snaps at tight end and did a nice job. Jordan White played, I think, every snap but maybe two in the second half. And he's a guy that we think is going to be a really good player down the road for us. And I think he'll be a factor as a backup this year. And then Tony Mathis got a bunch of carries in the second half. And we got to look, like I said, we got to look at a lot of people. And we'll need to continue to do that. Reese Smith was a bright spot as a true freshman, four catches. And then Grayson got in and made a couple nice plays too. And that's just off the top of my head there, Greg.
Got to hit the unmute here. You mentioned Frazier, Yates. How did those guys do assignment-wise? And where is your comfort level now with the offensive line, having those young guys play and then getting the other guys back?
Yeah, well, my comfort level has been improving. You know, I don't think we've arrived yet. I was impressed with what Zach did in his first college action. And it's tough. Center, to me, is the hardest position to play early. But he did it, and he did it well. And I was proud of how he not only performed, but how he prepared during the week, because that gave him an opportunity. And I thought Yates did a nice job. Probably should have included him with Greg's question. You know, he started as a redshirt freshman. And the unique situation for him is he didn't get here till fall camp last year. So he's never gone through a summer conditioning program either year. And so he's really young physically, but I thought he did a nice job. He's got to be more consistent. You know, his good plays were really good, but there was too many negative plays by him. But he's a guy that I think has a lot of potential, and he'll continue to play and get better as we move along. But I think, you know, on the 26th and then moving forward, that's where we've got to continue to prove that we're better. You know, I don't think just because we ran the ball well against Eastern Kentucky or our offensive line played better, that's what we were supposed to do. Now we didn't always do what we were supposed to do last year, so that's a step in the right direction. But we've got to be able to do it and sustain it against good people at the Power Five level in our conference.
Real quick, how was the physicality of the offensive line? That's something you talked about all camp. Did you see some of that?
Yeah, I thought at times it was really good, and at times we've got to be better. You know, I'd like for us to chase the ball and finish plays better. You know, I think I want to play with a mentality, you know, a little tougher mentality throughout games, but I thought we showed some signs.
I got to get the unmute here too. Two quick ones for you, Coach. One young guy I don't recall seeing was Avarius Sparrow. If I'm wrong about that, please let me know, but I was wondering if there was – any particular reason there you could share with us, or just a rotation thing? And then the second one, we talked obviously a few times here about Tony Fields and how well he played. Obviously a little bit behind with the transfer thing. How big is this next 2 weeks for him with the bye week to kind of further settle into that defense, and how much better and more comfortable do you feel he'll get over these next couple weeks?
Yeah, so Sparrow did not play. He was dressed and was eligible to play. We just chose not to play him just because we're trying to figure out who that third running back is going to be, and we wanted to give Tony Mathis an extensive look there. You know, he had by far the most carries, and he was up and down. He's got to play better. We need him to play better. We gave Dorr some carries because he deserved it. And so that was the reasoning behind that. Tony, these next 2 weeks are big. I mean, this week is big for – it's not a normal bye week. It's continue to get him in condition to play, continue to get him confidence in the schematics that we're running. But, you know, he really didn't have a whole lot of missed assignments in the game. And now some of that was what we were doing. But they threw a lot at us. They were quite a bit different schematically. Eastern was quite a bit different schematically than they were against Marshall. A lot of gap schemes that they didn't show. More quarterback read, kind of zone option, gap option, things like that they hadn't shown. So he got some things thrown at him. And I think this week and next are going to be big for him, without a doubt. You're right.
Vandarius Cohen had a sack and two TFLs. He didn't play much last year. How nice was it to see him active on Saturday, and how big of a part of the defensive game plan is he going to be getting ready for Oklahoma State?
Well, it's good that he's playing. He's got to continue to stay out there and stay healthy. That's been an issue for Vandarius. I do think he's mentally and physically in probably as good a spot as he's been since I've known him. But he did. He made some plays. I think he's got to be more consistent. You know, the penalty was really unfortunate because it was a 3rd and 10. He gets a late hit on the quarterback, which should not happen, and then they extend that drive and end up getting points out of it. You know, I always look at those penalties as kind of what's the ending impact, and that was a 3-point 50-plus yard penalty there, and so he's got to be better. But I thought he was active, and he showed up. You know, the sacks and TFLs. I thought he did a good job with some of the line movements as well.
Hey, Neil. Alex Singfield is a guy who kind of bided his time and even battled injuries 2 years ago under the previous staff. Just kind of what has he done to get the carries he got on Saturday? And is he kind of a guy, him and Letty, going to be kind of even, you think, throughout the year as of right now, I guess?
Well, Letty's a starter at this point, and he's earned that right. But Sink is a guy that's had a really productive camp. And he's been considerably different player, you know, over the last 6 weeks compared to what he was last year. I think he's playing with more confidence. He's added some bulk. He's been more decisive in the run game. And you've heard me say this before, Sean, is he took coaching at the end of the year last year, and he really was hungry to play more and wanted to know what he could do to improve. And Chad Scott, our running back coach, really gave him detailed things to work on. And during the quarantine and during his time away, he really worked on those things. He's been better in space. He's been better in finishing runs. And so he's a guy that's going to continue to play, and we'll continue to script and game plan to get him touches.
Hey, Coach. So Letty Brown credited his improved performance on Saturday mostly to his increased or improved relationship with the offensive line. I don't know, have you noticed that? And can you kind of talk about what that means in a running game to have a relationship like that between a running back and an offensive line?
Well, I think chemistry is a positive no matter what. And it works together. The O-line and running backs spend a ton of time together during the practice, whether it's working on protection or working on run installs and all that kind of stuff. So I think Letty has respect for those individuals. There's guys up there that have worked extremely hard. There's several of those guys that he spent, you know, have been here about the same amount of time as he's been here. And as he's gone through the growth process, those O-linemen have as well. So I think there's mutual respect there. I think that he's got more confidence in them now than he probably did a year ago. And so I think that relationship will continue to grow. And our hope is it'll continue to be productive.
You mentioned evaluating your young players in a game like this, you know, where you're against a lot of subs and the game may be a little sloppy when some of those guys get in. What do you look at? Is it as much executing their assignments where they're supposed to be? You know, how much does production figured in? Mm-hmm. You know, what are the big things you're looking for?
And this will sound a little bit of just me saying the same thing over, but how we evaluated our guys in this game, and it'll be the same how we evaluate them against Oklahoma State, is did they play at the effort that we demand, which we call it perfect effort, all right? Were they physical? And then did they do what they were coached to do when it's been well-defined? And those are the way that we evaluate every play, and they're each graded independently, regardless of what happened the previous play. Does production play a role in playing time? Absolutely, it does. You know, the most productive people at every position play. But as far as the evaluation process, those are the three things that we evaluate, and it's a by-play evaluation.
Hey, Neil, a normal season, you probably have some guys out in the road going to junior college or high school games. That's not happening. I'm curious what you have planned differently, and have you all even got into the live streams or the on-demand stuff you're allowed to do now?
Yeah, so we've had a recruiting meeting yesterday. We'll have another recruiting meeting today. We'll definitely spend more time on recruiting this week. But, yeah, we've gotten – I tell you, we've gotten more practice film, probably evaluated, workout film evaluated than we would in a normal fall situation for sure. But it's different. It is different. You know, I really miss the live evaluations. I think that's something that everybody across college football, the good thing, I guess, is that everybody's on the same, you know, everybody's on an even even playing field. It's, you know, you're getting, nobody's getting live evaluations, so it's difficult, you know, but we're making the most of it. But we're active recruiting this week, not only 21 but 22, getting heavy into the 22. You know, we're a little bit, you know, the schools that haven't been playing, you know, they've been able to spend all their time recruiting, so we're a little bit behind compared to some of the people we compete against.
Coach Scotty Young and Jaquay Hubbard, anything new on their waiver status?
No, we haven't got any waivers. Yeah, I haven't got anything on any of them. I checked before I came in here.
DeCarlin Nevis, go ahead, Carly. Hey, Coach, you mentioned the punt down at the one that was by Kyle Poland in his first real action. What does it say about a guy who barely sees the field at all in his first 4 years here? He comes in. I saw the video of him earning a scholarship, and he's from here, so I'm sure it means a little bit more to him.
Oh, without a doubt. Family are all true Mountaineers, and I think he's a great representative of our program. I think it's tremendous that he's from right here in Morgantown. I think it gives a lot of kids that – or my son's age and older that kind of grew up here and play in the youth leagues and then play in the big stadium. You know, it's I think that's the dream for a lot of people that are in this community, in this state. And he's a great kid, already graduate in May with a graduate degree and married in the office. It's been a big year for him. You know, he's starter, scholarship, married, having a child. So he's got a lot going on, but he's definitely capable of handling all those responsibilities.
Over to Chris Hall.
Good afternoon, Coach. You started Sam Brown over the weekend. Just want to know what went into that decision and just his evaluation after you watched the film.
Yeah, I just thought he deserved the opportunity. He'd been productive in camp and wanted to make a point. But he played better than I thought he would, really. You know, he's a little bit up and down last week, but he went out there, and that's the thing. You never know. I always tell our guys, you know, you have to, you know, all preparation does is give you an opportunity. If you don't prepare, you have no opportunity, but you still have to perform. And different people react different ways when they're under the limelight or when it's game day, however you want to say it. And some people just rise to the occasion, and that's what he did. He was up and down practice-wise last week. Wasn't overly consistent. Now did everything we asked him to do. And he'd shown some flashes and scrimmages and things like that. But really was kind of unsure of how he was going to play. Confident in his abilities, but just unsure. Hadn't been in a game situation with him. And he goes out and he makes two difficult catches in the first two series. And so I'm excited about him. I really am. I think that young group of wideouts that we have, there's a lot of potential there, and there's a lot of competition. If we can mirror that competition in that room across our whole team, and that's our goal in recruiting, then we'll be in a good situation.
We'll take these last four questions in the queue. Go ahead, John Antonic.
Got it. Curious, we haven't talked about this much, but how was the timing? You know, I know when you did the split squad stuff, maybe Austin Kendall was with Sam James or Jared was with somebody else. What was the timing like Saturday, and is that still a work in progress for your guys all across the board?
I thought it was okay. You know, I don't think it was the execution of the pass game was where, as a coach, you want it to be, but I don't think it was poor either. Accuracy-wise, if you look at our percentage, we high percentage, but I think we can place the ball in some better spots. But I thought Jared in particular threw the ball well. There's probably two throws that if he throws the ball where it needs to be, he's probably a 300 plus yards in the first half, and he's probably up for some of those weekly awards, you know. And so, but he will get better. I thought he made a couple significant throws that on the same type of throw he struggled with maybe at the end of last year. So, and I was really excited about how he prepared, and I was excited about his demeanor in the game, really even keel. And so he'll only get better, but I think overall timing wise, it was okay. I think we'll continue to get better, and that's why this week is important. And that's what I told our team yesterday afternoon. We didn't practice yesterday. We'll practice today. This has got to be a week we get better.
Coach,
Hey, Neil. So going back to special teams real quick, you had two new starters. You already mentioned Kyle Poland, but you had Tyler Sumter too. How do you think those two did, and what was the determining, I guess, factors coming out of camp for those two battles?
Yeah, Poland consistently was in a winning situation. The punting battle kind of went back and forth. And really, one of the things I think Greg asked me earlier who didn't play, and I should have said Colton McGee. Colton McGee was a guy that I really wanted to get in the game. He was going to take every punt that we had in the second half. We just didn't punt the football in the second half. So as far as Sumter, he mishit the one that went down to the one, but it still went down to the one. If you look at it on paper and he had 55-yard average, you're like, wow. But we gave 20 yards back on the second punt because he kicked it in the end zone. And he really hit that ball well. So I thought he was fine. He'll be better. You know, he'll be better. And I got that probably answered your question, Cody. I kind of bounced around.
Yeah, Neil, actually, I wonder about Jordan White and what went into getting him to flip when he wasn't playing at all last year. It's kind of an odd situation, but you piqued my curiosity on Sam Brown. You said trying to make a point. I'm wondering if that's at the expense of Sam James, who's the other guy there, and is that just a way to kind of get him up to the level of expectations you hold for him?
Now, Sam missed some practice time. You know, he had a little bit. I think I said this after the game. He had a little bit of an injury there. He missed some practice time, so just felt like the people that had practiced. Sam Brown had been out there every day during fall camp. What was the first part of that, Mike? I'm sorry.
The first part was Jordan White, and
Jordan White
didn't play.
Well, he played.
Committed and.
Yeah, well, he played as a senior. He didn't play as a junior. Mm-hmm. So, right. Yeah, and I give Jordan a hard time about this. He came maybe on one of the first recruiting weekends, maybe the first junior day that we had when I was here as the first month I was here as a head coach, and was overweight. I didn't know it at the time. I'd learned once he was here that he didn't play as a junior, had a foot injury, and I think he got hurt or injured in the first game. And so we really got on him. We recruited him at that point, but we wanted to see him in some live situations in the fall. And what we saw is a kid that was really physical, and he played against great people. You know, comes from one of the best high school football programs in the country. Played against really good people, a lot of Division I scholarship D linemen that he played against in that league. And he's came here, and he's shown. He's a guy that's really physical, plays with good bend, loves football, loves to compete, loves the preparation process. And so he did some really nice things. There's some things he's obviously got to work on. And when the competition increases, he can't get away with some of the mistakes he made on Saturday. But he's a guy that fits kind of what we're looking for up front.
Hey, Neil, just wanted to ask you, how did you think you did in the tackling department? And a guy that you mentioned in fall camp, Sean Martin, you know, how do you see him fitting in, you know, as this goes forward?
Yeah, so Sean's a guy that we're really excited about. He's this will give me a little segue because I was going to talk about this. We've got two guys that are true freshmen for us that are walk-on players that are out right now. They're the only positive COVID cases we have in our program. But Sean missed the game due to contact tracing. He's well. He's fine. But he was the he missed the game. He was a guy that we wanted to play, but he was out. He really had his best week of practice last week until he was out. And he was a guy that was definitely going to play, but still really, really excited about him. I like his makeup, how he's worked since he's been here on campus. He's going to be a real bright spot for us.
And that was West Virginia coach Neil Brown. The Mountaineers will take on Oklahoma State on Saturday, September 26th. A kickoff at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time. The game will be televised nationally on either ESPN or ABC. Thanks for listening.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.